And Larson.
And welcome back to the Going In Raw Dirt Sheet. This is, of course, the program where we discuss the hottest news that isn't our Raw and SmackDown recaps. It's available right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. It's available at...
I just put a hole in my show notes.
Fine retailers everywhere, including Podbean, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Play, SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Steven Larson. And of course, we have a Patreon set up for all this Going In Raw nonsense, which you can go to at patreon.com/Steven Larson. You get all sorts of rewards. We've got all sorts of great patrons. I'm going to list them off on Tuesday's episode because we've got like a bunch of new patrons signing up every single day. And there's all sorts of rewards. So you can go to patreon.com/Steven Larson and check out all the rewards you can offer. But we've had kind of an interesting week in terms of wrestling news.
Did you notice I busted myself open here?
I did see that. Was that part of a blow-off match of some sort?
Between me and my kitchen cupboard, yes.
We are not PG here at Going In Raw, and so you can juice all you want.
I guess so, and I accidentally put a hole in my show notes, too, with my pen.
My goodness gracious, you're kind of a mess. Somebody needs to take that red pen away from you.
No way.
Yeah, dude. Is that what you used to blade? Is that what you used to blade with?
Yeah.
The red pen?
Yeah.
I like it. That's good. Larson, apparently WWE, according to DailyWrestlingNews.com anyways... there are people in WWE who are thinking that perhaps they fucked up the draft. And anybody watching the draft at the time could have told them that in the first place.
Yeah.
There's speculation right now that there is going to be some swapping of talent, perhaps. Specifically, they stated that there's the rumor that Kevin Owens could end up going to SmackDown and Orton could be going to Raw.
I think we spoke about this briefly on our SmackDown recap going in Raw about how... SmackDown needs talent.
Yes, correct.
And the way, probably the best way to bring more talent to SmackDown would not be via trade.
Right.
It would be some sort of, on the Raw side of things, loser leaves town type matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that you say, man, we haven't seen one in ages, and you're throwing out many of them. There's several. Like they say, matches.
We need a whole night of Raw.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just loser leaves town.
I love it. It'd be great. It'd be awesome. We mentioned this about Cesaro, about how didn't Daniel Bryan? Yeah, Daniel Bryan said that Cesaro is being underutilized on Raw, which totally is.
Yeah,
Sami Zayn is being underutilized. He's not even on the fucking show.
I know.
He's on Superstars this week. And so that sort of spurred us into thinking, ooh, him versus Sheamus, loser leaves town perhaps as their blow off. And maybe Cesaro can then end up as a free agent on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think that would be that's one really good way of doing it.
How about this? Survivor Series, have a Survivor Series match. The winning team stays on Raw. The losing team in its entirety are free agents. That way there's five free agents.
Wow. Oh, yeah, that could work too. That could work too. There's any number of ways. The only problem with that is you need some trades. The problem is SmackDown doesn't even have a lot of, like, the rosters aren't even evenly divided because of the 3 hour, 2 hour thing.
Yeah.
So like the rosters aren't even evenly divided. So it's not like you can do like a Carmelo for eight of the Denver Nuggets situation.
Yeah.
You can't even get like a big name for a lot of smaller
names.
You know what I mean? So even that's kind of hard because then you'll have a dilapidated roster.
Even a one-on-one or one-for-one deal like the one.
Orton's a big name.
Yeah, it's a lateral move.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's really getting an advantage from an Owens for Orton trade.
Exactly.
And so you're not really helping SmackDown out unless you want SmackDown just to be a younger, more wrestling-focused show. That's the only reason I can think of to make that trade.
But
in terms
of
star power, it's a lateral move.
I know, but even saying younger, it's like Kevin Owens. I know, like, granted, in terms of his time with the company, but he's not that much younger.
I know, he's what, probably 4 or 5 years younger?
Maybe, God, even if that, probably. How old is Kevin Owens, do we know?
I think he's in his early 30s.
Early 30s?
31.
And Orton's pushing 40?
I don't think he's that old. He started out really young. Because he came
up
you're
right.
In 2012,
he was
they're saying.
20 or something.
So 14. He's probably in mid-late 30s.
Yeah, he probably is. Probably around our age.
Yeah, probably.
Owens isn't that far behind.
Yeah.
He's like 34. Finn's 34, I think.
I'm pretty sure Owens is only 31. I could be wrong.
Right.
I'm wrong about a lot.
So anyways, I mean, there's any number of ways you can do this, especially with the Cruiserweight division showing up on Raw. That's going to mean even less time for the established talents that are there. And SmackDown straight up needs
people. Just redraft right now.
But I like so much. I like Raw a lot.
Then each show gets to keep 10 people. redraft.
Yeah,
after SummerSlam.
But they can't do. They're not going. That's not going to happen. They're not going to do that. There's no way they're going to do that.
We should do that. We should take the current rosters.
Yeah.
Keep 10 and redraft the rest.
Well, that's good. Give me a chance to redraft because my first draft
sucks. Not our mock draft. The rosters how they stand now. Each show gets to keep 10 competitors as the rosters exist now, and then redraft.
I don't know. I think that, I mean, they obviously, I have no idea what the purpose of breaking up the club was. Like, that's still not evident. That still doesn't make any sense. I think that might, God, that would be so stupid if that was simply because they knew John Cena had to go to SmackDown, and who was he feuding with at the time? AJ Styles. What a short-sighted crap move
that
was.
Or if they were like, we want to put the tag belts on the club, so we're going to have them on Raw.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know. That didn't make any sense. There is a massive discrepancy with it. But at this, you know what? This is the thing. At this point, I'm fine. I've come to peace with it. Why don't they just let this play out? See if they can make a big start of Dolph Ziggler. You and I are both bullish on this, but I don't think they can make a big start of Baron Corbin. But see if they can. A lot of people are up on Baron Corbin. So maybe let's see if he can do it. Let's see if they can push the hell out of Kalisto and make a star out of him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let's see if you can do what... Just do something with what you have and then figure it out. But you can't do this a month later and say, oh, we messed up. Yeah, duh. Anybody who looked at both these rosters...
I know.
Wow, yeah. One is worse than the other. Okay. Fucking anybody could have seen that.
Yeah, pretty much.
I still say Vince showed up that morning. I think something tells me they had these rosters perfectly done and then Vince showed up that morning. Oh, let's take a look. Get out. He gets... his own red pen. Here, move this guy over here. Move this guy here, this guy here, this guy here, this guy here. And he just moved them all to Raw. He says, well, Raw's our better show. Well, it's going to be now, Vince.
Well, now it is.
He's like, whatever. He was like, well, SmackDown's taped. So why don't we already have all the good talent
Vince,
over here?
Vince, SmackDown's live now.
What's live? Who's what? Who's live?
Who? Both shows are live. Raw and SmackDown are both live. In fact, the draft, which is happening today,
who wants
later
lunch?
Tonight. Is live.
Who wants lunch? Who wants some raw duck? Who wants lunch?
It's random.
It's not for eagle ears out there. The Rock has beef with Vin Diesel. Speaking of lunch, he has beef. You put that beef away, Vin Diesel. The Rock has beef with Vin Diesel. So
yeah, on Instagram. Oh, sorry.
This is so stupid. This is
past
so unbelievably. These fucking idiot millionaires.
I think it's past Tuesday.
Idiot millionaires acting like fucking 5-year-olds.
It's past Tuesday.
People aren't acting professional. Wah, wah, wah. Shut up. That's what that's what old Rock would say if he heard himself whining like a little girl.
Can I tell the people the news now? So on Tuesday, The Rock took to social media. And he vented about one of his Fast 8 co-stars being, quote...
Rudy Poo Candy Asses.
He just said candy asses. He said unprofessional. Asses.
Yeah.
And then TMZ, I think the next day...
TMZ always stirring the pot.
Said the candy ass in question was none other than Fast and Furious star and producer...
Riddick.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Vin Diesel.
And then TMZ...
Root.
Yeah. TMZ was also saying that they tried to work things out... But no dice.
No way.
They convened in the Rock's trailer, I believe, and tried to hash out their problems. Mm-hmm. But no, didn't work. Then The Rock took to social media again on Wednesday to kind of quell the feud a bit. But I want to ask you, is there any chance that these two work things out?
Fucking hope not.
In a WWE ring?
I hope not. God, I hope not. This is the, you know what? This is the first thing that the WWE is going to want out of this, and it's the last thing that anybody I fucking know is going to want to see. I don't want to see this shit. I don't even want to see The Rock anywhere near a WWE ring. I'm tired of his ass.
You're anti-part-timers.
No, you know what, dude? I actually... The Rock's entertaining. When he comes back, it's what's annoying to me is that they simply give him a blank check, and that's been obvious.
Oh, yeah.
He comes back, he starts saying all these fucking sexist shit to Lana, and yeah, I mean, I know there are people out there who everything's too PC, but... You know what? There's some shit that you just shouldn't be saying anymore. Just out of a matter of fucking trying to build your business. You know, it's so fucking annoying. He comes in, he acts coked out like all get out. And then he like, what is it? He had like a flamethrower and he lit his name on fire.
Yeah, that was
WrestleMania.
Terrible. That was
and
terrible.
Then they jobbed the fucking Wyatts out to him in like 8 seconds for the quickest WrestleMania match ever. That was so, I'll say this. It was mildly cool when he took off his pants and he was ready to go.
Yeah.
That was mildly cool. But then when he took down Eric Rowan in 8 seconds, again, to your point, jobbing out the fucking Wyatts.
Didn't The Rock ask
to
work with the Wyatts?
Yes. Again, they gave him a blank check. Who do you want to work with? Oh, I really like this Bray Wyatt kid. He seems really cool. And so The Rock gives him a condescending speech in the middle of the ring talking about how he could be great, but he's taking the easy way out or some crap like that. And then Bray Wyatt pushes Eric Rowan into him for a match, for an impromptu match. That's what happened at WrestleMania. Now, The Rock is entertaining to me. He's The Rock. I watched San Andreas in the theaters. It was a crap movie, but I thoroughly enjoyed it because The Rock is a very charismatic individual. But his WWE appearances are just infuriating these days.
Yeah, they kind of are.
He's a really entertaining guy, and he comes in just freaking on bath salts or something.
I think the issue is that, as you said,
the issue is cocaine.
He's given a blank check. They say you have this much time, and he probably goes over that time, as we saw at WrestleMania 31 where you're there, when his segment just kept on going on and on and on,
on and on.
And to say, hey, just fill this time however you want.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, when he was in the ring with Stone Cold and Hulk Hogan, my God, biggest fan. I can do that all day long. I'll watch those guys. Maybe not Hulk Hogan now, because that's just awkward. But Stone Cold is great.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold always reaches the exact correct pitch. You know what I mean? Like, he's always in there. He does everything correctly.
And he feels like he knows when to stop. He does... Yeah, correct pitch, correct
exactly.
amount of time, then he stops.
Yeah, so I hope not. I probably think not. And from what I was reading, the main issue between the two seems to be The Rock can't show up on time to the set.
No, Vin wasn't showing up on time.
No, I heard that The Rock wasn't showing up on time, and Vin was being a diva. So it seems like it's both of these guys.
See, I didn't hear anything. I heard specifically that it was Vin being late. And Vin being a diva. That's
okay.
What I heard.
All right. Well, I don't know. It sounds like everybody's acting like a Rudy Poo candy ass. I hope Vin Diesel goes in there and says, "Don't you know who I am?" And The Rock says, "It doesn't matter who you are." Because Vin's like one of the producers of the Fast and Furious.
I think The Rock is now, too.
And our final story before we get to our NXT recap, which I only saw a little bit of, is Stephanie, this past Tuesday, Stephanie McMahon spoke to the Beyond Sports United. What is Beyond Sports United? Do we know what that is? Some sort of group of some sort?
Yeah.
She spoke to them. Is it like a new wrestling faction?
No, it's not
that. BSU?
It's not that.
Anyways, she spoke about the WWE's commitment to incorporating LGBT characters into their programming. In a press release, the WWE...
Oh, wait, no, that's not true. That was not a press release. It was a quote she gave. Stephanie gave. Sorry.
In a quote Stephanie gave, she said, WWE stated they were partnering with GLAAD, who had, quote, come in... and spoke to our entire wrestling writing team, and gave a whole tutorial on sensitivities, the right words, the wrong words, and why those words matter. I think that with their guidance and support, we'll be able to portray that LGBT storyline appropriately. I hope the WWE does not have a good history of this. There is still a Raw as of 6 months ago or so, because when I was watching, I just decided to randomly choose an episode from the Attitude Era. And it was The Godfather, and he said some pretty nasty homophobic slurs on it about William Regal. Pretty sure he said the really bad one. So, their history is not being good. There's the billion check thing.
Yeah.
But, to their credit, recently, when Darren Young came out of the closet and announced to the world that he's gay on TMZ, the WWE treated with respect, and people, the entire universe... all the wrestlers were tweeting at him saying, hey, you know, and I'm pretty sure they did something on Raw where they showed all the tweets too. I could be wrong about that. But I think the WWE and Triple H and Vince, they all said, hey, congratulations. This is a really ballsy thing to do.
They all extended their support.
Exactly. Yeah. Pat Patterson, he came out of the closet on the Legends House. That was sort of a not well... kept secret for a long time. I think we knew that. If a couple of marks know that, then, you know, everybody else is going to know. But they've been, because of those two incidents, which took place over the past 12 to 24 months, they're getting better. They're understanding.
Yeah.
They have people, I think, in place, especially Stephanie seems to be spearheading a lot of this stuff, like the Be a Star program, where they're trying to be socially acceptable now with what they're doing.
Yeah.
I really hope, and I'm glad they're working with GLAAD, because the WWE can say, hey, we're thinking of a... which is just a bad idea. It's just a bad idea. We're thinking of a storyline that's going to feature some sort of LGBT angle to it, which immediately sounds cringeworthy. And I just don't think... I mean, my thing is this. How often do we really get romantic angles? Angles that would explore somebody's sexuality in the WWE these days? I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. We have Miz and Maryse right now, who are a heel couple, but kind of a comedic heel couple.
Yeah.
If you made in that situation, and I'm this is completely off the top of my head. If Miz was a gay male and Maryse was a dude, and they're doing exactly what they're doing right now, I'm trying to think if that would be in bad taste. I think the problem might lie with the fan base accepting it in a certain way or seeing it in a certain way. I'm not sure if we're at the point where you can do that Miz Maryse thing, but have it be a homosexual couple and it not come off like you're trying to be exploitive, even though if you switch the positions, just because of how society is right now, I'm not sure you can portray a heel gay couple and not make it about, oh, well, they're gay, so they're a heel
kind of thing. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's going to be, I think, a while before it's such an accepted thing in society that you can get away, especially in the WWE when they always seem to be 10 years behind the societal norms.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you could incorporate that type of storyline that explores this and not come off like you're exploiting that. Because the WWE, by and large, is about exploitation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they do it in, you know, in storyline manners.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I really don't want something forced down our throats. That just doesn't... And I don't know how they can do it without making it feel that way. And in that case, it being exploitative.
Yeah. I don't know either.
But I mean, I'm glad that they're... I guess in one respect, I'm glad that they're at least presenting to the world that they're open to the possibility of utilizing characters like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think maybe by saying this in the first place, then people will anticipate their first move will be a positive one,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to one that's on the exploitative side.
Because
if they just launch into something, it could be the situation where people are like, okay, hold on, we know where you've been before. Why are you doing this? You're just going to be fucked up again.
Yeah.
But by saying this in the first place, it's telegraphing, hey, we're going to do stuff like this, but we're working with the right people to do it correctly.
Yeah.
So how that'll manifest itself in a way that isn't cringeworthy or exploitative, I don't know. What if they brought in another wrestler who happened to be gay?
Mm-hmm.
And through social media. Okay. On screen, we don't know that Paige and Alberto Del Rio are a couple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it, though, because of social media.
Yeah.
What if they brought in a guy? Okay. And I'm using this because we just watched the Gargano-Ciampa match. And at the end, they had that really great moment.
Yeah.
That gave me chills.
Yeah.
When Ciampa didn't want to shake his hand, comes back and sits down next to Gargano,
and
his best friend.
And gives him a little hug. Yeah.
What if you had a situation where Darren Young and this other guy they bring in became a real-life couple off-screen?
Mm-hmm.
Then they entered into... And it wasn't acknowledged necessarily by the WWE on programming, but it wasn't denied either. Like, they didn't make any pretense about what relationship they have. They're put into, like, some sort of high-profile match against each other. And their relationship isn't really driving it, but it's not really kept out of it.
Okay.
And at the end of that match, whoever wins has that same kind of moment where Gargano and Ciampa have. I think people would accept that. They'd be cool because it's not being, like, shoved into their face and used in an exploitative manner.
Yeah.
But at the end of the match, they let them display whatever true emotional, you know, feelings they have, or they let them explore that in terms of like, hey, it gives them a, you know, a kiss or whatever. You know, you get your first in-ring kiss.
Yeah.
That's like legit and not cartoonish. That's a kind of situation where I think they could have something there, you know?
Agree.
It's like, it's not like, oh, we have to watch these, you know, it's like, oh, we have two gay guys. We have to watch them make out on screen, which is in the past where the WWE would go. It's shit. It's where they go now with Miz and Maryse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there are ways to explore this. It's just the WWE needs to be, and on top of that, like, with, they need to make sure also that they're not being ridiculously overly sensitive. You know what I mean? Like, everything being proper and like, you can have tension and they need to know you can have tension and drama and characterization with that and not always having to be too PC or too or overly sensitive to things.
You yeah, know? I understand
it's,
that.
It's
yeah.
good to be sensitive. Okay, here's my concern is that you're working with GLAAD. GLAAD might say, well, we can't have anybody who would cheat. You know what I mean? Don't have any of your gay characters cheat. Okay, well, then they can't be a heel. They can't do, you know, cheating things. They can't be a tweener. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It's yeah. like they need to make sure that they're not, you know, busting out with characters who are just cardboard, you know, oh, they have to be this and they have to be that. It's yeah, like, yeah, let yeah. them be fucking people.
Yeah, no, you I know what I mean? That, yeah.
So I think that's, I think this is a step in the right direction. And I kind of yes. like that they're telegraphing it because then we can all sort of be like, okay, well, they're doing the right things. I'm going to have an open mind as opposed to they shouldn't be doing this because yeah, they don't know
their,
how to do
I
it.
Know, given their history, this is not going to go in a direction that's good.
We're going to get another Billy and Chuck. Yeah. So, anyways, let's talk about NXT.
Okay.
I did see the very opening. I saw Bobby Roode exiting Regal's office. And then I did, because I was walking around the house when this was when NXT was on. And I did see when he, at the very end of his little thing with Andrade Cien Almas, where he said, it's going to be glorious. And then his theme music.
I kind of wish that he had not said glorious. He just said, yeah. It's going to be cue the music.
That would be good, too.
And he just revels in it.
So you're going to be driving this NXT recap
right.
of ours. So Bobby Roode comes out of Regal's office at the very beginning and says, okay, thank you, Mr. Regal.
Yeah.
And he's very happy with something.
Yeah, we don't know what that is.
We don't know what.
That goes straight into, I believe, the show open.
The Bayley-Asuka contract signing.
Yeah, which is good.
One of those, okay?
Which is good. Bayley showed a little edge.
Okay, good.
You know, because during the back and forth, Asuka, you know, asked mm-hmm. shake hands. Bayley didn't do it.
Is there any chance that this is going to, that Bayley's going to win this title back and keep it until the fall?
No.
You don't think so?
I think Asuka's going to win.
So Bayley's just going to hang out until the fall, or is she going to go
the
off
fall
TV?
Fall isn't that, it's only a couple months.
So it's a month away, really?
Yeah.
In September, you can consider fall, I
yeah.
think.
No, it is. Yeah, September 22nd, first day of fall.
So we're a couple weeks away from fall.
Yeah.
Maybe Bayley will do a run in at SummerSlam for her first sort of official.
It could be.
Well, she might do something.
Could be. Authors of Pain squashed Nails and Ryzen.
Who is Nails and Ryzen?
They were on NXT a couple weeks ago.
Okay, all right. Very good.
There was a short Shinsuke Nakamura interview.
Okay, what was the point of that?
It's talking about Samoa Joe and Samoa Joe's threats towards Shinsuke regarding their match, regarding the lead-up to the match at TakeOver. Yeah. You know, Joe has been saying, you know, I'm going to beat him up, so maybe Shinsuke won't even make it to TakeOver.
Oh, yeah.
And Shinsuke ended it with saying, I'm not that hard to find, essentially.
He's not, because he's the fucking baddest man on the planet.
And then you had Andrade Cien Almas against Angelo Dawkins.
I always have to look at his name before I say it, because then I have to go down Andrade Cien. It's like the least rolling off the tongue, which is surprising, because a lot of Spanish names roll off the tongue. It's meant to be said with that
I know.
That thing.
I don't know why they gave him three names.
Andrade Cien Almas.
It should just be Andrade Cien or Cien Almas.
Andrade Almas. Andrade Almas.
Like, yeah, take
Cien Almas. Cien Almas is great.
Take any two of those three words and make a name out of it, and it's good. The three of them is just too much.
Three of them is too much, but two is great.
Yeah. Almas went over.
Yeah, of course he did.
And then Bobby.
I like Angelo Dawkins. I've seen him before.
Yeah, he's good. And then Bobby Roode comes out, drops a promo.
Perfect. So what was the gist of his promo?
He kind of, you know, he started by saying congratulations.
Okay.
I'm not going to congratulate you for your win because it was okay.
Yeah.
So congratulations having a match against me at TakeOver.
Well, of course. Well, that's why I figured he came out to congratulate him on having a match with Bobby Roode.
That was the gist.
Yeah, okay, good. I like it. I like that a lot.
Austin Aries had a backstage segment with William Regal in his office, which is funny because the lead into it was Aries talking about, I think, an orange and the health benefits of the orange.
So much vitamin C in an orange.
And then Regal confirmed that Austin Aries would have a match against No Way
Jose. I thought you were going to say Regal confirmed that there is a lot of vitamin C in an orange.
Well, I think everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But anyways, Aries, No Way Jose confirmed for TakeOver.
I like it. That's going to be a good TakeOver, man.
It is. This is a jam-packed NXT. Usually we have like five things to mention.
No kidding. I'm looking at this list here.
Billy Kay beat Liv Morgan.
Okay.
With a boot to the face.
They're pushing this Billy Kay.
Yep.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be big.
There's another backstage segment with Gargano and Ciampa with William Regal.
Did he talk about their CWC match? Probably,
yeah. He mentioned it, yeah.
God damn it. That was
That was kind of the gist, because they had a match afterwards, and after their match at CWC, whether they'd be able to work together.
Oh, yeah.
And then Regal confirmed that they will have a title match against Revival at TakeOver.
Oh, I love
tag
it.
Belts.
Any chance to Revival has to just move on to SmackDown? Give me a break.
Yeah, I can see Gargano and Ciampa getting those belts. I can see that.
I'm telling you, the Revival? Yeah, because I think it's going to be a quick run. Because they have to bring him up to the Cruiserweight division in Raw. They have to. I would think. Or you think they got bigger plans for him?
Maybe.
Yeah. The Revival, I'm telling you, man, put him with AJ.
Yeah.
Make him part of the club.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The first expansion members of the club.
That'd be good.
Come on.
And then Gargano and Ciampa had a match against Patrick Clark and Tucker Knight. They won, of course.
Of course. Had we seen Patrick? Patrick Clark sounds familiar.
Yeah, we've seen him.
Okay.
I think Tucker Knight, too.
So many great names.
And then Samoa Joe beat Mojo Rawley.
Samoa Joe just had like an exhibition match against
nothing? Was actually, yeah, pretty much. Sort of he was wrestling
shadow
air.
Dancing? Yeah, okay.
But it was actually a surprisingly competitive match for a good chunk of it.
Yeah.
They're making Mojo look good.
At any
good.
Point did Mojo say, woo, woo, woo,
no.
You know it.
But on the back of his tights, he had Hype Bros written on it. And in the, you know, like.
But was the S kind of faded away?
No. But in the inner circle of the O, he had Zack Ryder's logo.
Ooh, I'm telling you, Mojo Rawley is simply an imaginary
projection
of Zack Ryder.
Yep.
Or it's his alter. It's like his alter. It's Tyler Durden. It's his alter ego.
No, Tyler Durden was. No, yeah, you're right.
Sorry. He was the same guy.
Yeah, same guy. But to the. But
I love our goddamn.
But to Ed Norton, it's a projection.
I love our friendo so much. Because a couple of them sent me pictures.
The Bro Club poster or whatever, or the Hype Club.
There's that. But then somebody sent at Real Going In Raw a picture of Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley and said, hey, look, I found this picture of Zack Ryder. I love you guys so fucking much.
That's pretty
it's
good.
It's fantastic. You guys kill me every time. That's
all
so
right.
Great.
Let's close the show talking a bit about the Cruiserweight Classic, because when I got here today, I said, hey, you need to watch this.
I know! I meant to last night, and then I didn't, so I did today while we were getting our writing done.
This Kota Ibushi-Cedric Alexander match. I'm all in on Cedric Alexander.
He's going to be huge.
He is going to be a huge star.
The level of talent in the CWC in general, but to see these guys who kill it, who just kill it. I mean, it was enough for that Gargano Ciampa match, which we watched afterwards, because I hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah, I didn't either. That was really
good. And that match, including their promo stuff last week with the Revival, that turned me on. I was like, okay, cool. All right, because I need to see sometimes some personality.
Yeah.
And then to see that match and...
Well, they told a fantastic story.
They told one of the most emotional stories I've ever seen coming in cold to something. I could have watched these guys, having never seen them before in my life, watch this match, heard their promo beforehand, seen what happened afterhand, and feel like I've got the most satisfying wrestling feud story, whatever you want to call it, I had seen all year.
Yeah.
In one match and promo that led to
it.
It was fantastic.
And this match, the Kota Ibushi Cedric Alexander, had a lot of that as well.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
There's a lot of really talented athletic wrestlers, obviously, in the CWC.
Sure, yeah.
And I think what sets apart wrestlers like Gargano and Ciampa and Cedric Alexander is their ability to not only perform athletically in the ring, but their ability to tell a story.
Yeah.
And I think Cedric Alexander, why I think he's going to be a huge star is because of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously super talented.
Yeah.
He's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
But as the match built up to the conclusion, his reactions to everything built with it. So at the beginning of the match, his reactions to, like, his selling injury was subtle.
Yes.
It was, and his reactions were small. And as the pace of the match picked up, as the drama picked up, his reactions were more amplified. So by the end of the match, when he didn't get that pinfall after the brain buster and kick to the head.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he...
Yeah.
He was shocked.
And it was, but it was, it's great because it was a build.
Yeah.
It wasn't small, big, it was...
Yeah.
Small and building to that moment where he knew he had it and then he didn't.
Yes.
And everything was on in his face and his body language. And he looks like $1 million. And at the very end, this literally gave me chills because you said, hey, you got to watch the end. The entire crowd was saying, please sign Cedric, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or please sign him, something like that. And, you know, he was acknowledging them, and he had some tears. It was, I mean, sweat. I'm assuming it was tears, but because he was sweaty as all.
He seemed emotional,
He seemed very emotional and very thing. They were thanking him, you know, profusely. The crowd was just huge into him. Triple H comes out in his full corporate gear.
I know, and he's like, okay.
And the look on his face said, okay, I got this, guys. Gave him a handshake, and he took him, and he said, he turned around and gave everybody a thumbs up. sent, meaning this dude is ours. He's being signed.
Yeah.
That gave me chills. I got chills thinking about it. There, Triple H, it's a fucking renaissance in terms of getting these talents. And I love, I've said this a million times before on the podcast, you can never go wrong, or the odds are so much more in the company's favor when you bring a guy who's been on the Indy 11. I don't know how long Cedric Alexander's been around, but obviously he's been around.
When I was doing some research for my last Kayfabe Corner, I saw his name pop up in relation to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Okay.
So he's been in some of their tournaments.
At least been, okay, so he knows the indie scene. He's probably been around for a little while.
Yeah.
And my goodness gracious, like, he's going to be huge. And I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see more of him.
I know.
Can't wait. So that was, it was really good. Check out the CWC. It's really good.
Yeah.
Is that it? Are we good?
That's it.
Anything else? We have 33 minutes. It's a decent sized dirt sheet.
Yeah.
So anyways, if you guys want to leave us any questions for Tuesday's episode of Going In Raw, please do so at our Twitter @RealGoingInRaw.
Yeah, @RealGoingInRaw.
Hashtag it FQ.
Yeah.
And check out, we got some good programming this weekend. Coming up on Saturday, we've got our top, 10 real life wrestling feuds.
Yeah.
So shit that goes on off screen. We got some really good entries in there. And then we're going to figure out what we're going to do for Sunday. We might bring back some fuck wrestling.
Yeah, we got to figure that out right now.
Anyways, that's it for now. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.